Okay, good afternoon. Today we're going to speak about the IDF and the Yeshiva boys. Is it a contradiction to join the army while you're studying Torah? So let's see what the Torah says in the parsha that we read yesterday. As a matter of fact, no coincidences. Do you mind taking one motion, passing it? Taking one and passing it around? Take one and just pass it around. One to a customer. This is from yesterday's parsha. No coincidences. The parsha that we read yesterday. Oh, yes. Right. Thank you. The shir is dedicated Le'ela Nishmas Yosef Ber Ben Esther Chaya, who just passed away. He was a Talmud of mine. Le'ela Nishmas Yosef Ber Ben Esther Chaya. Shabbos should have an Aliyah. And Lahavdol Ben Chayim L'Chayim, which Baruch Hu should send the Refuah Shleima B'Kor Mamash to my son Osher Shmuel Chaim Ben Tziona, the Tov Shai Choyle Yisrael. Lahavdol Ben Chayim L'Chayim. Okay. And also, she's home. She's home, Baruch Hashem. Thank God she's home. Thank God. For Shalema to Dina Basora Imenu, Baruch Hashem, she's home and she sounds much better. Thank God. Okay. What does the Torah say about? Torah always speaks to current events, Michael. Never fails. The parsha of the week speaks to current events. Everyone have a paper?
No.
No? Why not? Okay, you don't want one. You know it by heart. Okay? You know it by heart? Okay, yesterday's Parshas Matos, right? What did we read? Let's look at Perik Lamed Aleph, Posuk Aleph. You with me? Everyone have a paper? Perik Lamed Aleph, Posuk Aleph, right, Moshe? Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lamor, Nikoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. Take revenge for the Jewish people. Me'esa Midyanim, from the Midianites. Achate Yosef Elamecha, then you'll be gathered to your people. The Midianites were responsible for the death of 24,000 Jews, right?
Right.
So now it's Miller time. I mean, it's revenge. Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. God says, take revenge for spilled Jewish blood from the Midyanim. And then when you do that, Moshe, you will be gathered to your people. What do you mean, gathered to your people? Then you will die. Look how the Torah describes death. Right? Gather to your people, you join your ancestors in the afterlife. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Vaydaber Moshe Elam, Lamor, Hecholtzim Yitchem Anoshim Latzava, take a draft, a Gius, draft the people for the Tzava, V'yal Midyan, Loseis Nikmas Hashem B'Midyan, to take revenge for God. So Rashi is puzzled because God's instruction on Pasuk Bet, Michael, was Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, take revenge for Jewish spilled blood. And Moshe, when he reports it to the IDF, he changes the wording and he says it's not Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, but it's Nikmat Hashem. Huh? Is Moses changing God's instructions? Why not?
The people wouldn't rally if it was for their sake. They would rally for their sake.
Okay, Nisharon, I like that. But Rashi gives another interpretation. Look at Rashi. See Rashi on the left column. Pasuk Dalit. Nikmas Hashem. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said Nikmas Hashem and God said Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, so Rashi wants to know, did Moshe change God's instruction? So what does Rashi say? See Rashi in the left column, Nikmas Hashem? What does Rashi say? Sha'omed keneged Yisrael, kilo omed keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who raises a hand against Israel is like he raises a hand against the Holy One, blessed be He. So Moshe is not changing instructions. Revenge for the Jews is in fact what? Revenge for God. So the enemies of Israel are really the enemies of God. They're really attacking God, not the Jewish people. So therefore, it's not changing the instructions. So who goes to the draft? Look how topical the parsha always is. Who goes to the draft? Pasuk Dalid. You see in the text? Pasuk Dalid, Moshe, who goes to the draft? Elef Lamate. Elef Lamate. 1,000 for a tribe. 1,000 for a tribe. L'chol matos Yisrael tishlochu l'tzava. For all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the army. So how many was there? 12,000. But it says, Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. Chayim, it's... So look at Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says, in the text, Vayimassu me'alfa Yisrael, Elef Lamate. How many were drafted for the war against Midian? Elef Lamate, Shnei Moser Elef, 12,000 Chayalim Chalutzei Tzava. So the question is, if it was only 12,000, then how come Pasuk Dalit says what? Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. That seems to be what? 2,000 per tribe. And yet Pasuk Vav says that Moshe only drafted how many? Pasuk Hey says Moshe drafted Shnei Moser Elef, only 12,000.
12 fighters and 12
what? So, close but no cigar. Very close. So the Medrash says, how do you know the Mishaberach for the Chayalim is min HaTorah? How do you know we have to make a Mishaberach for the Chayalim? From here. Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. The Medrash says, for every 1,000 that went to fight, another 1,000 stayed behind to make Mishaberachs, to pray for the success of the Tzava. So therefore it says, Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. 1,000 fighters and 1,000 lovers? No. And 1,000 prayers and 1,000 daveners, those making Mishaberach, that we fight on two fronts. Right, Moshe? We fight on two fronts. Therefore it says, Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. Even though only 12,000 went to fight, as it says in Pasuk Hey, but another 12,000 stayed around and they dedicated the entire time of the war to prayers and Torah study, making Mishaberach for the success of Tzahal. So here you have that the second Elef, to pray for the Hatzlacha of their brothers in the war. Here you have an open Pasuk that making Mishaberach for Tzahal is what? A Pasuk in the Torah, actually. But some people say, don't confuse me with the facts. Okay? So here you have this Pasuk, that what? Pasuk Vav, Vayishlach Osa Moshe, Elef Lamate. Pasuk Vav says, Moshe sent them Elef Lamate. 1,000 to fight, and another 1,000 per tribe stayed behind to make Mishaberach. The question is, God tells Moshe in Pasuk Aleph, in Pasuk Bet, you take revenge for Midian. Nikol Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. You yourself do it. But Moshe doesn't do it himself. Pasuk Vav says, Vayishlach Ota Moshe. Moshe sends them, and he doesn't go himself. Why not, Moshe? Why don't you go yourself? God told Moshe Rabbeinu, in Pasuk Bet, Nikol Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. You personally have to take revenge for the 24,000 Jews that were killed as a result of Midian. And yet Moshe doesn't go himself. Pasuk Vav says, Vayishlach Ota Moshe, Moshe sends the Chayalim, and he doesn't go himself. He appoints Pinchas. Why? He was the head of the yeshiva. So what? So therefore he couldn't go himself, right? You'll see later that that's not the reason. The reason was Hakarat HaTov. Since he was a fugitive from Egypt, remember the fugitive?
Yeah, he killed about a fugitive.
So the original fugitive was Moshe Rabbeinu, and he ran to Midian. Who did not extradite him? Who didn't hand him over to the Egyptian KGB? The Midianite government. It was the Midianite government. Yisrael couldn't do anything without the Midianite government. So since Midian protected Moshe Rabbeinu when he was a fugitive, he himself could not take personal revenge, even though God told him to. Because Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Menschlichkeit, HaKoras HaTov, comes before the Torah. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not himself go to fight Midian. It would contradict his Hakarat HaTov, his gratitude for Midian for protecting him when he was a fugitive. So why did God tell him? God was testing him. Will you use the 50 Shulchan Aruch? Right? That's Derech Eretz. That's the 50 Shulchan Aruch. There are 4 Shulchan Aruch. But if you don't have the 5th one, Derech Eretz, the other 4 don't work. Derech Eretz Kodva LaTorah. And therefore Moshe himself could not go. How do I know that your reason is not the reason? We'll see. Let's take a look. Now we have to go to the other handouts over here. Okay. Can you just take, give one and pass them out, please? This is one paper with 2 sides. How do we know it wasn't the reason that he was a Rosh Yeshiva? Maybe that's the reason. Just take one and pass it down, please. It's one paper with 2 sides. One paper per customer. Bakasha.
How do we know
because there are no extra words in the Holy Torah. There's exactly 304,805 letters. It should have said Elev Lamate. Why repeat? There's no repetition. I repeat myself. The Torah never repeats herself. Never. So why did it say Elev Lamata Pamayim? So the Medrash says 1,000 fighters and 1,000 Mishaberach guys. So you see, Mishaberach is from the Torah. Wow. What? 304,805. If you don't believe me, Evelyn, you can start counting.
No, I do.
You can start counting. Okay. 304,805 letters in a Torah scroll. 304,805. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look at our second sheet. I hope everyone has a second sheet. It's 2 sides, right? You have chapter 1, Masechta Megillah. Chapter 1 in Masechta Megillah. You see that?
Yeah.
On the right-hand side, how great it is to study Torah. You see on the right-hand side on top, Omer Rav Yosef.
Right.
Godol Talmud Torah, Yote Mahatzolat Nefoshot. Ooh. Uh-oh. Omer Rav Yosef, the right-hand side. Godol Talmud Torah, Yote Mahatzolat Nefoshot. The study of Torah is even greater than saving lives. Wow. So, what does that mean? So, look at footnote 59. See footnote 59?
Yeah.
The Gemara does not mean if there is an imminent threat to life, one may not interrupt his Torah study. Inasmuch as saving a life takes precedence over all the Torah's mitzvahs, except for the 3 cardinal sins, right? Rather, the Gemara refers to one who wishes to interrupt his Torah study to deter a potential threat to life. Ooh. The Gemara thus refers to Mordechai's accepting a high government position after the events of Purim in order to protect the Jews against any future threats. If there's an imminent threat to life, you have to break the whole Torah, except 3 cardinal sins. But we're talking about a potential threat to life. There, to deter a potential threat to life, not a direct threat, there, the Torah study is even more important. How do we know that? If you go back to the Gemara, Omer Rav Yosef, Godol Talmud Torah, Yote Matzolas Nefoshot. How do we know? Dimikore Choshev Leila Mordechai Bosa Dalit. In the beginning, Mordechai is reckoned, in the top 10 of the sages, Mordechai is reckoned by Scripture after 4 sages in ranking of Torah scholarship. Ulapsof, but in the end, after the Purim story had taken place, Mordechai is reckoned after 5 sages, indicating that his importance among the sages had declined. You hear? Look at note 60 in the notes. The second list was compiled when? 24 years after the first list. During that period, at the time of the miracle of Purim, Mordechai undertook all he was busy which caused him to study Torah less, and he forgot some of his learning. So, and the Gemara now presents the list. Rabbi Yosef now cites the verses back in the Gemara. Mi'akore Kesiv, originally it's written, those who had come up with Zerubbabel were Yeshua, Nehemiah, Saroya, and Mordechai is listed what? Five. Right? Lepsav, he's listed what? And after the Purim miracle, the ones he's listed what? In the top 10 hit parade, he's Mordechai Bilshan. Why is he called Mordechai Bilshan? From the word Lashon. Mordechai the linguist. Bilshan in Hebrew means the linguist. He spoke many languages. To be on the Sanhedrin, you had to speak what? 70 languages. Mordechai Bilshan, that was before they had, what's his name, Evelyn Woods speeding?
Yeah.
What's it called, the speed reading course? So anyway, so you see that he what? He dropped in Torah scholarship. Now, the Gemara digresses to expound the importance of Torah study. Omar Rav, you have that? Vitema Rashmo Bar Marsa, Godol Talmud Torah, Yote mi binyan bet hamikdash. You hear this? The study of Torah is greater than what?
Building
the Beis Hamikdash. How do we know that? Shekol zman sheboruch ben Neruya kayam, as long as Boruch, the Rebbe of Ezra, was alive, lo yinicha Ezra ba'alach. Ezra did not leave him to emigrate to Eretz Israel. Ezra didn't go right away. Look at footnote 63. This explains why Ezra did not ascend to Eretz Yisrael with Zerubbabel, but he waited until the seventh year of the reign of Darius II. Who was Darius II? The son of Esther. There's plenty of chairs there.
Papers?
Oh, yeah, here. Bakasha. Papers? Where are the other papers? Oh, these are the other ones. Thank you. Okay. So look at footnote 63. It says, chapter 1, Masechta Megillah, footnote 63. This explains why Ezra did not what? Ascend to Israel with Zerubbabel, but he waited until the seventh year of the reign of Darius II. Who was Darius II? The son of Esther. He stayed at his Rebbe's side since he needed to clarify his learning under his teacher's tutelage. So therefore, he didn't go to build the Beis Hamikdash right away. So you see that Talmud Torah is even greater than what? Than building the Mikdash. How come his Rebbe didn't make Aliyah? It's too old. The Medrash explains further that Baruch himself did not make the journey. There was no El Al in those days. He couldn't get business class, I guess. Huh?
Try Delta,
huh? He was too old and sick, so he couldn't go. And Ezra couldn't leave his beloved teacher, so you see that the Beis Hamikdash had to wait. The Talmud Torah comes even before the Beis Hamikdash. So what do we do today with the yeshiva students who they claim that they studying Torah, which is even more important than building the Mikdash? Right? And it's even more important than saving potential threat to life. So therefore, if you turn the sheet over to the second side, you see something amazing. You turn the sheet over to the second side. Shemot Yud Zayin, right? Shemot Yud Zayin. Everyone have a paper? Where are the papers? You have everyone has one, right? Shemot Yud Zayin. Shemot Yud Zayin, it says, right? Shemot Yud Zayin on top, Mishalach. Here we're talking about the war where the Amalekites attack us. The Amalekites, we just left Egypt. Amalek terrorizes us. Right? So the Jews go to war. Pasuk Yud Aleph. You have on top of the page there, Yud Aleph? Moshe doesn't go to war. V'hoyakash Yoram Moshe Yodoi, when Moshe lifted up his hands, the Gova Yisrael, the Jews were victorious. The Kasha Yaniach Yodo, when Moshe put his hands down, the Gova Amalek was victorious, right?
two stones on the result.
So what did they do? Not stones, Michael. Pasuk Yud Bet. Read Pasuk Yud Bet. V'day Moshe Kvedim. Moshe's hands became weary, heavy. V'yikhu Evan. So they took a stone, they sumu tachtav, and they put a stone underneath Moshe. V'yeshev aleo, and he sat on the stone. V'aron v'chur, who was Aaron? His brother, who was Chur? His nephew? Tomchu b'yodav. They had to support his hands. Mizeh echad u'mizeh echad. Each one held up his hands. V'hi yodav emunah ad bo yashemesh. His hands were faithful until the sun went down. So Rashi in Pasuk Yud Bet, you see the Rashi on the right column there? Rashi asked the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, remember 40 years after this, he knocked off Sichon and Og. He was no spring chicken here. But 40 years later, when he was 120 years old, as you did this week's Parsha, he knocks off Sichon and Og. So how come he had to suffer this humiliation? Of he couldn't even keep his hands up. Imagine the spectacle. The IDF is fighting, and they're seeing Moshe on top of a hill. Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't even keep his hands up. He needed his brother and his nephew to hold up his hands. Why did Moshe suffer such a humiliation? Look at Rashi Yud Bet. You see it? It's unbelievable. Moshe, you want to read that Rashi Yud Bet? V'day Moshe Kvedim. B'shvil shen is atzel b'mitzvah. Because Moshe was what?
Lazy.
Lazy. The mitzvah. What mitzvah was Moshe lazy? What mitzvah was he lazy? He didn't join the IDF and fight personally. Nisyaku yadav. Therefore his hands became tired and he had to suffer the shame and the humiliation of the Jews watching the spectacle, but he couldn't even keep his hands up. Incredible Rashi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was lax in the mitzvah of Melchemet Mitzvah, of fighting for Eretz Yisrael, protecting the Jews, even though he stayed behind and he prayed. Yet he had to suffer this punishment where he couldn't even keep up his hands. It was a busha for him. For Rabbi Yaakov, hear what's going on over here. What was he doing? He was davening for them. And yet Rashi says he was lax in the mitzvah of fighting in the IDF. This is a mitzvah that you cannot appoint a shliach. There are two types of mitzvahs in the Torah. To circumcise my son, I can appoint a shliach. To put on tefillin, can I appoint you my shliach to put on tefillin?
No.
But I can appoint you to circumcise my son, to shecht a korban pesach for me. So Rashi is telling us that the mitzvah to fight for Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah like putting on tefillin. It's a mitzvah that you have to do with your own body, and you cannot appoint a shliach. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yeshua ben Nun, he was punished with this spectacle of not even being able to raise his hands because Rashi uses very strong language here. Shenis atzel b'mitzvah. In the mitzvah what? Of Mechemet Mitzvah, and therefore he was punished. Pretty amazing. So how do we apply it for what's going on today? Huh? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, l'leches b'chol derachav. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is to walk in God's ways. In Parshas B'Shalach, God calls himself Hashem Ishmolchama. Hashem Ishmolchama, says Rashi, Baal Molchama. God calls himself what? What does Baal Molchama mean? Master of the art of war. So there's a mitzvah to walk in God's ways. God says, I am a Baal Milchama. To fight for what? To protect Jewish lives. So there's a mitzvah, Leches B'Derachav, to walk in God's ways. So if God is an Ish Milchama, then certainly all of us, if we're capable, we should also be an Ish Milchama. And just because you're studying doesn't mean that you should be released from the army.
Why is
there many
such a debate, Rabbi?
What? Why is there such a debate?
In other words, if it's said so in the Torah, why are the Rosh Yeshiva?
Why? What's the debate about, right?
What's the debate? Yes.
What they're really afraid is that they will be corrupted in the army. That's what they're afraid of. That the army will what? Will expose them
from
to...
from their religious observance.
But would they have a...
What?
Yaakov wasn't corrupt when he was in...
Because you said that half go in to fight and half of them stay as daven for them.
Right.
So, okay, so isn't this a
contradiction? So why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished? It seems to be a contradiction, right? It seems to be a contradiction. This is exactly, so you see that this argument is at least 3,000 years old. Don't you see? What does King Solomon say? Ein chadash tachas ha-shemesh. There is nothing new under the sun.
It could be a difference in wars with that, with a prophet Midianites, not everybody was mikayesh to the war. Apparently Amalek, everybody is going.
Okay. So the question is what? So we're going to talk about it. Mechemet Mitzel, Mechemet Rishus. We're going to talk about that. You see that there is a difference. Now, if there's a Mechemet Rishus, there are a lot of exemptions. What does Mechemet Rishus mean? An optional war. A war for territory, for expanding your boundaries, for capturing booty. There the Torah says there are many, many exceptions. Shevet Levi is exempted. A person that just got married is exempted. A coward is exempted. The Rambam lists many exemptions for what? For Mechemet Rishut. What does Mechemet Rishut mean? An optional war. An optional war, there are many, many exceptions. But the Rambam says, when it comes to, he's a medavorim amurim, when do I say that, this is the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, when do I say that there are exemptions for Shevet Levi, the clergy, or people that just got married, a person that's bought a new apartment, or planted a vineyard, and didn't get a chance to, when do I say that those are exemptions? That is what Mechemet Rishut. That's for an optional war. I think the Vietnam War wasn't what? What? An optional war, right?
Well, not for the people who were there.
Right. Aber b'mechemet mitzvah, but mechemet mitzvah. What's mechemet mitzvah mean? Holy war.
Yeah.
Huh?
Holy
they got everything from us, Michael.
Aber
b'mechemet mitzvah, says Rambam, hakol yotzin. Everyone goes. Afilo chatan mechedro. The kala mechipoto, even the chosan from the bridal chamber, and even the kala, they also go. In other words, the Rambam is saying that Mechemet Mitzvah, there are no exemptions. Everybody has to go. Pretty amazing. Now, the Radvaz says, does it mean that women actually fight? What does the Rambam mean, that even the kala has to go? So the Radvaz says, no, it means Mechemet Mitzvah, the women do KP duty. What's KP? I think it's called kitchen patrol.
Kitchen
patrol. The Radvaz says it doesn't mean that women fight in a Mechemet Mitzvah, but the Rambam means that they prepare mayin or mazon lebaleihen. They prepare food and water for their husbands, but not that they take part in krav. No. Women don't take part in krav under any circumstances. But Mechemet Mitzvah, they do kitchen patrol. They have to provide food and water for their husbands who are drafted in the IDF. What?
A soldier's uniform, even carries a gun. It's like
right. A woman is not supposed to do that. She'ein darkon, the Radvaz says, she'ein darkon shel noshim lasot mulchama. Unless it's a kuach nefesh, and they're coming to threaten you, then you kill them. But ein darkon shel noshim lasot mulchama. Okay, so Mechemet Mitzvah, says the Rambam, there are no exemptions. Everybody goes, even Shevet Levi. So, Eizo Mechemet Mitzvah. So that's the $64 question, Debbie, that they're debating today. Is this a Mechemet Mitzvah or not? Okay? Because Mechemet Rishus, then the clergy are exempted. Then the Shiva boys are exempted. If it's Mechemet Mitzvah, then there are no exemptions. So, what is it? So the national religious parties, right? Rav Kook's yeshiva and our yeshiva, we say it's Mohammed Mitzvah. So our boys do go. But those that don't go, they claim it's Mohammed Rishus. And therefore, Mohammed Rishus, they are exemptions. But let's see what the Rambam says. What's a Mohammed Mitzvah? Go ahead. That's Mohammed Mitzvah. Take revenge for spilled Jewish blood, right?
Okay, that's
Mohammed Mitzvah.
Okay.
And yet, Elif Lamate remained to say Mishaberach. That's your question, right? Okay, so you see that this is a controversy going back at least 3,300 years.
Maybe they did national service.
Who? The Elif Lamate? Not just Mishaberach. Not just Mishaberach, right?
The
second front. The second Elif, the home front, okay. But what is Mohammed Mitzvah? Says Rambam, what's Mohammed Mitzvah? Mohammed Shiva Amimim, Mohammed Amalek, Ve'ezrat Yisrael Miyat Tsar Shabo Aleyem. Ve'ezrat Yisrael Miyat Tsar Shabo Aleyem. To protect, save Jews from Abu Mamzer and company. Miyat Tsar Shabo Aleyem. So that the Rambam says that is what? That's Mohammed Mitzvah. And he says, Mohammed Mitzvah, everyone has to go. He says, Mohammed Mitzvah ain't tzorech little boy Rishus Bezdin. The Kaifa Amlot Set. He says that a king has the authority, Mazek Kofe. Force. The king has the authority to force the people to go to Mohammed Mitzvah. It is. A force means a draft, right?
Right.
But Mohammed Rishus, the king cannot force. Their Bezdin has to decide, and then there are exceptions. So today we don't have a king, right? So who can force us today? What? The Chayfa Amlat said? Huh?
The Prime Minister.
Yeah. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, says that anyone in charge of a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael may substitute for a king and declare Mechemetz Mitzvah. Incredible Nachmanides. In his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, says that anyone in charge of a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael may substitute for a king and declare a Mechemetz Mitzvah, which I think we are now engaged in. That's what I think. So therefore, we believe that everyone should go. Those people that say that yeshiva boys are exempt, they claim that now we're only involved in Mohammed Rishut.
What about the other wars?
What about all the wars, what?
What about the other wars?
That's Mohammed Rishut, yeah.
I wish they would keep the territory they got.
Yeah.
Let's start from an aleph.
Yeah,
let's keep what we
yeah,
got.
To protect what? Right. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the parsha that we read yesterday, Shevet Reuven and Gad, they wanted to remain Be'er HaYarden. Right? So Moshe says, Acheichem yuvoo la'melchama v'atem teishvu po. Your brothers will go to war, and you're going to remain behind. It's not the way to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a Haredi rabbi, right? And he says that what? When it comes to, he himself was punished for not joining the war personally against Amalek. Pretty amazing, right? But it's just amazing that the Keren Ora, Rabbi Yitzchok of Karlin, who was a Hasidish Rav, writes in his Sefer Keren Ora that when the Rambam rules, according to Gemara Sota, that in Mohammed Mitzvah, everyone has to go, it applies to our times as well. This is what he writes. Contemporary Hasidish Rav. Obviously, he's only a Yochid. Others don't agree with him. Other Hasidish rabbis. But this is what Rav Yitzchak of Karlin writes in Keren Ora, that in Mohammed Mitzvah, everyone has to go. And even Talmidei Chachamim must be drafted, and they cannot be released because of their learning. So the question again boils down to, is this Mohammed Mitzvah, or is this called Mohammed Rishus? But there is another pasuk in this week's parsha. V'yisem nikiyim Hashem im Yisrael. You shall be clean in the eyes of God and the eyes of Israel. Moshe tells the Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad, you have to join the fight. You can't stay behind. V'yisem nikiyim Hashem im Yisrael. You should be clean in the eyes of what? God and the eyes of Israel. So isn't it enough to be clean in the eyes of God? What does Moshe have to say? V'yisem nikiyim Hashem umi Yisrael. Huh? Perception. So even though God knows you're innocent, if your fellow Jew thinks you're a shirker, then there's something wrong. It's not enough for God to know that you're innocent. The pasuk that we read yesterday, this is the inyan of Maris Ayin, that your fellow Jew has to know you're innocent as well, of Marat Ayin, it's not only what he does, but how it appears to others. And how does it look to others? Do we really appear pure in the eyes of God and Israel? Because Nebuchadnezzar, the secular Jews think that what? That they sacrifice their sons, and the yeshiva boys stay behind. Right? Is it fair? Huh? What? Is their blood any less redder than the yeshiva boys' blood?
Yeah, but they're starting to emulate the yeshiva boys a little bit now.
What?
They don't send their kids anymore either.
Might be a secular. Yeah, there's a big draft dodging there, too.
What?
Two
wrongs don't make a right. The best is the Hesder yeshiva students, right? The Hesder and Nachal Charedi.
Yeah.
These guys make a real Kiddush Hashem. The Hesder yeshiva guys are learning. They're not battling. They're learning. And Talmud Torah doesn't mean that you're released from other mitzvahs. A person that studies Torah, he doesn't have to give tzedakah. A person that studies Torah doesn't have to get married. A person that studies Torah doesn't have to put on tefillin. Well, fighting Melchemes Mitzvah is a mitzvah like putting on tefillin. It's a mitzvah like what? Giving tzedakah and getting married. It doesn't release you. Just because you're studying Torah doesn't mean you're released from the mitzvah of Melchemes Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. And you're not released from putting on tefillin, so you should not be released from doing service as well, especially if it's considered what? A Mechemet Mitzvah. There's no other issue that divides Israeli society as much as this. There's such bitterness. There's such Sinat Chinam. We know better. It's up to us to reconcile.
Why was it voted down?
What?
It was voted down.
And it was voted down. They just... Well, he quit the government, didn't he? What's his name?
Alfaz. Kadima.
Why did he quit?
Because Bibi didn't want to go along with him. He didn't want to go to his extreme. Yeah, he doesn't want to fight all
the time. So anyway, there's no issue that, again, Marat Ayin, how does it appear? So even though the yeshiva boys are sincere, but how do the secular consider them? It looks like you're shirkers. That my son's blood is not as red as what? So it comes out, surely, a terrible Chil Hashem. It talks about a real Chil Hashem. That's right. What?
Why is it?
The 19-year-old.
That's right.
They're there.
So how does that mother feel when she sacrificed her son, and she knows the Haredi mothers don't have to worry at night? They will not get a knock on the door. Chas v'sholom. Doesn't that create sina? And doesn't it create a chil Hashem?
Rabbi Sprecher, can I add something?
Go ahead.
I had a thought that I don't understand why the fellows who are studying cannot go into the program just like the Hester.
That's right. Or the Nachal Haredi.
Of course.
That's right. The Nachal Haredi. What's wrong with the Nachal Haredi? There they have their own units, and they're sheltered from the rest of the army, and they do very well there.
I know.
They also need National Guard.
National Guard.
I would like to be in Kiryat Sefer on one of these
nights when there's howling outside, and how many people have to fight in that community with all the children and black families. We need National Guard.
Right. But even if you don't serve on the front, what about doing national duty, helping out in the hospitals?
Sure.
Right? There's so much to be done. Talmud Torah doesn't exempt you. It's lilmot al menas lasot. The reason that we study Torah is al menas lasot, to do the mitzvot. So studying Torah doesn't exempt you from putting on tefillin, does it? It does, shouldn't exempt you from going to the army, which is a mechemet mitzvah. What? It teaches you what to do. That's right.
So what happens if you miss the Hesder Yeshiva?
What? The Hesder Yeshivas, right? And the Nachal Haredi, right? Right? What? Yes?
How about
conscientious objectors, you know?
But
why can't they
what is
conscientious objector?
The custom of America.
But that's not the reason. Right?
They don't want to.
They're called the jobnik. Jobnik. Jobnik? Right, Moshe?
And nurses.
You need jobniks too, that's right.
Preaching
to the choir.
Yeah. Where are the Haredi community? They'll stone them. If those yeshiva, they'll hang them.
No.
They hang them high.
But you can't. Right. Doubting Thomas.
Of guys that keep walking around in the street,
yeah,
smoking cigarettes,
okay.
It hurts my heart. It will
be a
yeshiva,
right?
One thing, but
but I don't understand. Well, how can you give chofesh? You got all 3 weeks now from yeshiva.
They have chofesh.
They should go into the army or do national service. No, Evelyn. The 3 week vacation. They should go to National Guard for 3 weeks at least. At least do that, right? Right? What? Yeah.
Did you see the picture in the paper with a little boy's hands up?
Yeah. If you go back to the sheet where it says number 4, if you go back to the sheet number 4, see sheet number 4? You have one? It says number 4 on it. Michael, you have it?
Yes.
Pasuk Dalet. Let's read Pasuk Dalet again. Elef lamate, elef lamate, l'chol matos Yisrael tishlochu latzaba. 1,000 per tribe, 1,000 per tribe. L'chol matos Yisrael, to every tribe of Israel, you shall send latzaba. Look at Rashi Dalet on the left side. See that, Moshe? Rashi Dalet on the left side. L'chol matos Yisrael. What does Rashi say? L'rabat Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi were the Koilel guys. Shevet Levi were the Koilel guys. And here Rashi says that what? That for Melchemet Mitzvah, which was Midian War, even Shevet Levi, even the Koilel guys, were drafted. That's open Rashi. And Rashi was Haredi. L'rabat Shevet Levi means Kohanim. The entire tribe of Levi went. Again, 1,000 went to fight, and 1,000 stayed behind to do national service. Elef lamate, elef lamate.
Things were different.
So then. Things were different then. David HaMelech, wasn't he a great learner? And was he a great warrior? Yeshua ben Nun. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he didn't fight Amalek, he was punished. 40 years later, he got the message, who's the one that knocked off Sichon and Og?
Moshe
personally. Look at this week's parasha. 40 years later, Moshe got the message, and he personally knocked off Sichon and Og, the two Amorite kings, personally. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because he learned his lesson, that he didn't go to fight Amalek. He was punished by having his arms were so weary, he couldn't even hold them up, and it was a humiliating sight, a spectacle that he went through, and the Yidden saw that. So 40 years later, he did personally attack Sichon and Og, but the reason why he didn't attack Midian even though God told him to, was Hakara Satoiv. So we see that Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Yes?
Was it the first time David didn't go out when he didn't go out to war is when he saw Bathsheba? And that led to...
Oh, so you're making a good point, Reuven. Ooh. I'm telling you, Reuven, you're cooking with gas today. David normally went to war. This time he didn't go, he sent Yoav. And he stayed behind. He got in hot water. Ooh, Reuven, can I use that? You hear what he said, Yom Yaakov? He knows his Tanakh, Reuven. David would lead the IDF. On this occasion, he said, you know, Yoav, you take charge of the IDF. And he stayed behind. And that's when he saw Bathsheba bathing. Ay, ay, ay. So if he would have been where he should have been, at the front, huh? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, what? Huh? Alfie, you see that? He wouldn't have gotten in trouble. What? What? Oh, so okay, so King Solomon was born from that union. The first child died, okay. But the second child, what? Then Shlomo HaMelech was born, right? Okay. The first child died as a punishment, right? I hear what you're saying, Reuven. It's a good point that you're saying to prove that what? That David should not, he should have gone like he did on other occasions. What about Yeshua ben Nun? Right? Yeshua ben Nun? And all the Shoftim of Israel. Who killed Agag, the king of the PLO?
Prophet.
Shmuel HaNavi, the old prophet. He wasn't so old, he was 52 years old. The old prophet Shmuel HaNavi took a sword and he hacked Abu Mamzer to death. It's pretty amazing that Shmuel HaNavi did it himself. He didn't appoint what? How old was he? He was 52. He wasn't that old when he did it. Shaul didn't do it. So why didn't Shmuel call one of the IDF Duvdevani brigade? Huh? Or the Golani? Shmuel HaNavi, the great tzaddik. He himself took a sword and he killed this murderer. So what do you see, Shirley? That killing Amalek, defending Jewish lives, is a mitzvah that you do begufoy. It's not a mitzvah that you can appoint a shliach, like putting on tefillin. Yes, Toshi?
How about, you're talking about Levi'im and Kohanim going to war. How
yeah.
about in 2 Chronicles, I think it's about the 20th chapter.
Go ahead.
Where Jehoshaphat put the big mouth singers in front of
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
The army, and the enemy slayed their own selves when they heard the high praises of God.
Yes.
So why couldn't even our Levi'im and Kohanim go if they
Was it a Mechemet Mitzvah? Was it a Mechemet Mitzvah? I don't have to look up the incident. I don't know offhand the incident that you're talking about. Fill me in. What's the incident
the
there?
Enemy killed their own selves when they heard the
Which enemy? Which enemy?
The enemies of Israel.
Yeah, but Yehoshaphat went to war, yeah, and? Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, no?
He went to war, but in front of the army, he put the Levi'im and Kohanim, and they were singing, "The mercy of God endures forever." And they
were making Mishaberachs, okay.
And the enemies heard it and killed their own selves.
You mean the enemies panicked?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see, Mechemet Mitzvah, like Rashi said, even Shevet Levi goes. Not everyone has to shoot a rifle. The backup, support, right? As what? As what's it called? Chaplains. Chaplains. To give pep talks, to give chizuk. Right? These yeshiva boys know a lot of Torah. They can inspire these soldiers and get rid of the sinat chinam and get rid of the chil Hashem. It's such a chil Hashem. There's such hatred. Can you blame the mothers, Connie? My child has to go on the front, and the child of the ladies in Meir Shorim, they don't have to worry about a knock in the middle of the night. Chas v'sholem. Huh? Mothers here, that's right. Are in the IDF.
And husbands.
That's right.
Alan?
Slicha. Who says that their blood is any less red or more red? Right, right. It's a terrible chil Hashem, really. It's a really chil, if you think about it. But not with anger. You have to go with, try to reason with them. With reason, reason. What? That's right. But some say, don't confuse me with the facts. They don't think for themselves. Sit and talk. Let's talk it over. Huh? Right? Right. What other things? Like what?
Say about milchamot, about learning Torah. I don't have them in front
of me. Okay, here, I just told you that.
No, there are. You showed me.
That Torah study is greater
I'm
than.
Standing up for the other side.
Yeah.
I know that there are psukim that are used by them.
Because they say it's not milchamot mitzvah.
They say afuch.
Afuch. But this. But how could you argue with the Rambam? The Rambam says it's a Mechemet Mitzvah. They claim it's not a Mechemet Mitzvah. If it's not a Mechemet Mitzvah, there are exemptions. And the clergy is. But this would seem to be a Mechemet Mitzvah. Ezrat Yisrael miyat tsar shabo aleihem. Ezrat, saving, helping the Yidden from an enemy that comes to attack them. Could we live one day in this country without the IDF? We would be inundated with terrorists, lo yaleinu. Chas v'sholom. What? Mechemet Mitzvah.
Everyone.
So how could you say that it's not a Mechemet Mitzvah? It's an ongoing Mechemet Mitzvah. Rav Mordechai Yo, Paskin like that, therefore, those that follow him all go to the army. Rav Mordechai Yo, the great tzaddik. They're not, so you have to, you know. So there you see that this is a machloik is going back thousands of years, yes? Rashi said he was punished because he was lax. Against Rashi? Okay, you want? I don't want to argue with Rashi. You want to argue with Rashi? I'm going to be like that. Mamalek is Mechemet Mitzvah. So? No. Yeah.
When you lift up his arm, that he made Am look up to Hashem and Davar.
Right. So why does Rashi pick on him?
I don't know what.
You don't know. I don't know either. Rashi picks on him.
I don't know.
He was davening and learning, and he was rallying the Yidden, and yet he was punished. Bishvil said this. That's why I made the copy. Right? Bishvil said this. Atzel b'mitzvah.
But why was he punished?
Because he didn't go personally.
Because he didn't go personally fight in the IDF.
He did.
He didn't. No, he didn't. He appointed Yeshua ben Nun. No. He didn't. What? He didn't go himself. He appointed Yeshua ben Nun, and Rashi says that's why he was punished. That he couldn't even keep his hands up. So 40 years later, he got the message. He personally went to war against Sichon and Og. The question is why in our parsha he doesn't go against Midian. When God commanded, so he said, there, because Akora Satoiv. Because Derech Eretz, okay?
Rabbi.
What?
In our parsha, right?
Yeah, but he killed Sichon and Og in our parsha. That's okay. There he did go personally. He doesn't owe Sichon and Og any favors. Midian, he owes a favor. They took him in. They protected him from the Egyptian KGB. So he owes them a debt of gratitude, and therefore he himself could not go, even though God commands him to go. But we see from here that Mechemes Mitzvah, there should be no exemptions. Everyone has to go. And there's no issue that divides Israeli society like this. It tears the nation, Debbie, apart. There's so much Sina.
But you know,
and there's so much Kina. How does it appear for from Jews? But not this. But Rashi doesn't agree with you. Nechama. Okay, Rashi doesn't know. I don't know. But you admit that if the Haredim would join the army, wouldn't it get rid of the Sina? It wouldn't get rid of the Sina. It would. A lot of it would get rid of. There wouldn't be this resentment. There wouldn't be this resentment.
Can I just make a point?
My kid is not as precious as your kid.
There was very big resentment against
woman has all kinds of grandchildren, you know, from secular and Haredi. So Haredi kids went to play in the park in Iraq, and they were attacked by the kids there.
What?
They were attacked, they were yelled at and picked on, and they left the bar.
Let me just make a point.
Because they don't go into the army.
Hold on, what, can I just say something?
Again? That what?
The Haredi grandchildren were at the bar, and they were attacked by the other kids there because they don't go into the army.
That's wrong. I mean, you can't.
They were picking up, the kids were picking up the kids in the bar.
I hear. But so you see, it creates this sinat chinam
friction.
This friction.
In the playground.
You can't blame a secular mother or a boy who goes and he fights and he dedicates his life and risks his life, and he doesn't understand why this other guy should be hiding behind a wall of books. It doesn't make any sense to him.
Can I just say something?
What?
Okay, if they just want to be talking one minute.
Yeah.
The non-observant,
yes,
are causing a problem also. By the again, the observant people are uncomfortable with this anti-religious group that seems to be favored against us.
But that gives them an excuse. If you send the yeshiva boys to the army, the anti-Haredi would lose their modus operandi.
I'd it like would to be see it happen. I'm not okay against it. But they hate us, too. They have no respect.
But maybe that's why they hate us. We know better. We have to make the first move to reach out to them. They don't know any better. Since we know, we have to try to get along.
True.
Right? And there are plenty of Nachal brigades. They could go there. Right? Nachal
brigades.
Right? Nachal Haredi brigades. What's wrong with that? What? Yes.
But just like there is a basis for I vote Israel, you know, Republicans and Democrats. Could it be for two knowledgeable rabbis?
Yeah.
A very calm debate with the facts, with the Tanakh.
Right.
You know, about their position, so that the positions could be open and people can come. And they can come in here.
Right.
So that would be a suggestion to the men.
Fine. I hear with you, right?
Well,
yeah.
It has to be the red.
We shouldn't shout at one another.
We shouldn't shout. But we should care how it looks in the eyes of the non-frum. Or how it looks in the eyes of the national religious who do serve. And they continue to learn. The Hesder. How should they feel? Shouldn't they feel like suckers? You can learn and be in the army at the same time. Can you imagine if all these yeshiva boys would join the army would become more religious. Wouldn't the army become more religious? Huh? Have a positive influence. They're dedicated. Right. You know that 50% of the officers are religious. 50%, isn't that incredible? Of the IDF officers are religious. Okay, thank you.